Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
I'm a local truck driver for a common grocery store in our city. This means I stay in the same 50-ish mile radius and drive between the warehouse and several stores every day to deliver pallets of groceries. I don't have to make any drives more than 2 hours long, so every night I get to go home at a reasonable time and sleep in my own bed, rather than at a truck stop like most cross-country or regional truckers have to. This day was pretty average, going between a few stores and delivering the pallets, and I got to my last delivery location around 9. It took a half hour for them to empty the trailer, but then I was good to head back to the warehouse and turn in for the night.
Carvana's so easy, just a click, and we've got ourselves a car. See?
So many cars. That's a clicktastic inventory.
And check out the financing options. Payments to fit our budget. I mean, that's...
Clickonomics 101.
Delivery to our door?
Just a hop, skip, and a click away.
And bought.
No better feeling than when everything just... clicks.
Buy your car today on... Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
This was always the farthest drive, though, being that the warehouse was on the edge of the city, away from everything. An hour into the drive, and about when I reached 15 minutes away, I pulled into a gas station to fill up, as I'd been riding on empty for probably too long. I went into the diesel section and started the gas pump. While I leaned against the truck and waited, I saw a group standing outside of a parked pickup truck on the other side of the gas station. They were the only ones there, but they kept eyeing me, looking over at both me and my truck. It was odd, but I thought they were just waiting for me to leave, probably so they could do something stupid without any bystanders. Once my truck was full, I put the pump back and got in, driving out of the gas station. As I did, the group got into their pickup and left as well, pulling up right behind me. Now it was definitely more than just odd. I still didn't know exactly what they were planning to do, but they weren't even trying to hide it. Over the next mile, as we got further out toward the edge of the city, they kept swerving around behind me, going in and out of the lane, and unable to keep a consistent speed. I got my phone from the mount and called the police to report the group for reckless and possibly drunk driving. Being in a huge semi, I didn't feel unsafe, but I was more worried for anyone else that may be on the road. After a couple more minutes, though, they swerved into the lane next to me and sped up until they were right across from my window. I looked down at them, seeing a few guys looking at me and saying something to the others. Then they sped up again and slammed on the brakes right in front of me. I had no choice than to brake as well, stopping just before ramming into them. As soon as I did, all the doors swung open and four of them came running to either side of my truck, trying to open the doors and get in. I immediately went in reverse, trying to put some distance between us before I put it back in drive. My only choices were to take a chance at driving off the road, which might make my trailer topple over, or I could ram through their pickup. Obviously, I went straight through their truck. All four of them ran off the road just before I hit it, and after 30 seconds, I was long gone. By the time I got to the warehouse, police had shown up to the scene, finding their pickup on the side of the road and all four of them standing by it. As the officer put it, They were all intoxicated, but not willing to cooperate in explaining what they were doing. Whatever they were trying to do, it was pretty scary having four drunk and aggressive guys trying to break into my truck. Although it all happened so fast, and maybe doesn't seem that bad, I think if I'd not acted so quickly, it easily could have escalated to something truly awful. But there's really no way to know what could have happened. I was driving back from a friend's house who lives an hour away. We lost track of time, so I didn't leave until around 2 a.m. I was really tired, and the drive was really boring. Most of the way home was a long straight road that didn't seem to have a single other car on it. For the first 20 minutes, it was just me staring at the endless pavement ahead and trying to not let my eyes shut. But then my headlights suddenly lit something up on the road, way ahead of me. I couldn't tell what it was at first, but as I got closer, I had to slow down and eventually stop. There was a semi-truck parked in the middle of the road, blocking both lanes. I sat there for a few seconds, having no clue what I was seeing. At this point on the road, we were at least 30 minutes from town, and there was nothing out here. The only reason anyone would stop out here is if there was an emergency. I looked to the right of the truck, and there might have been enough room for me to get around the trailer, but there was a steep hill on the shoulder that would have been really risky to drive on the edge of. The other side of the truck had trees too close together for me to drive between. After being there for a whole minute, I figured this had to be an emergency and that my best and maybe only option was to check up on them. I got out of my car and began walking up to the front of the trailer. I remember how quiet it was outside, like the night was completely still and empty. As I got up to the front, though, I realized the light was on in the driver's cabin. I went up to the door and lightly knocked on it, then called out asking if they were okay. The window was way too high up to see through, so I couldn't really see anything from the ground. After a few seconds, there was still no response. I called out again, but there wasn't even the sound of any movement inside. My gut was telling me that something was seriously off about this. I looked down the road ahead, then back at the road I came from, seeing nothing but fog in the distance, which only reminded me how far away I was from anyone else. I grabbed the side of the door and lifted myself up onto the steps, then looked inside the window. There was stuff scattered everywhere, almost looking like they'd crashed or something, and making the whole cabin a total mess. But nobody was inside. Then I noticed the door on the other side was wide open. I stepped back onto the road and began walking around the truck to investigate the open door, but was stopped in my tracks when I saw a man in the forest walking up the side of the hill. He was tall, with shoulder-length hair, and had a very disheveled appearance.
"Hey man, are you okay?"
The man didn't look at me, but continued coming up from the forest and onto the road. In the faint light coming from my headlights, I saw dark red stains all around his clothes, and his face was covered in dirt and grime. Thinking he was clearly not okay, I offered to help, but he continued to not even acknowledge me. That was until I said I could call 911 for him. He immediately stopped walking and shot a look at me, holding eye contact for a few long seconds. "I'm fine," he said in a deep, threatening tone. I stopped talking and watched him get into the truck, Then I rushed back to my car as the truck started driving away. I turned around and drove right back to my friend's house, where I called 911 and gave every detail I could remember. Unsurprisingly, the case never went further than that. What happened on that road is still a mystery, one that still terrifies me. The way the truck was stopped, being sideways, and with the cabin looking as chaotic as it did, I think something, or someone, forced them to stop. What happened afterwards is debatable, but the man I saw probably wasn't the original truck driver, and I think we can all assume what likely happened in the forest below the road. I worked at Papa John's for a couple years at the end of high school and beginning of college. I delivered pizzas and sometimes helped with cleaning and stuff because I worked nights. This was my normal 4 to 11 shift on a slow weekday. By 10, we weren't getting any orders, so we started cleaning and preparing for closing so we could leave right at 11. But at 10:45, the store phone started ringing. I let my manager pick it up, and from hearing what he was saying, I knew someone was placing an order. Despite my shift ending in 15 minutes, I still had to deliver the order, so I was visibly annoyed. I waited for the pizza to be ready, then left just before 11. The address wasn't too far, I think just under 10 minutes away, but when I got there, I was a little bit confused. There was a long driveway going into the trees, but I couldn't see any houses or lights at the end. I looked back at the map, zooming in and seeing that there was a house. It was just really far down. I turned onto the driveway and put my brights on. After the first part that connected to the main road, it became a gravel path and was honestly hard to follow because it was thin and the trees were really close to the sides. Eventually, it opened up a bit, and across a small field was an old wooden house. It was too big to be a cabin, but it definitely was giving off that middle-of-the-woods cabin-type feeling. There wasn't exactly a place to park, so I just stopped in the gravel and got out. A few of the outdoor lights were on, but they were not bright at all, and most of the woods surrounding the area were completely dark. I started walking up to the door, hoping to do this quickly, because something was starting to make me feel off about this place. I got up to the porch, and just before I knocked, I heard something behind me. It was leaves crunching in the woods near the gravel driveway that I'd just come from. I looked out there for a second, but it was too dark to see anything. So I turned back and knocked on the door. While I waited, I looked back at my car, wishing I'd left the keys inside so the headlights would stay on. Even from the porch, it was hard to see any more than just a small glare coming from the plastic reflectors. The rest of the car was not visible, falling past the dim light coming from the house. I heard footsteps inside, then the door opened. It was an old man with short black hair and glazed over eyes.
"I have a Papa John's pizza order for you,"
I said, holding out the box. There was a slight pause before the man slowly reached out and took it, looking me in the eyes the whole time. He set it down on a table next to him and got his wallet out, slowly counting through some cash, when I heard it again, leaves crunching behind me. I looked over my shoulder toward my car where I heard it coming from, but just when I thought I might have seen something, the man grabbed my shoulder.
"Here, for you,"
he said, holding out some cash. I took it, then quickly looked back at my car, but didn't see anything. And a few seconds later, I was shaken by the man slamming the door behind me. Before leaving the porch, I got my phone out and turned the flashlight on, then hurried back to my car, shining the light in all directions, but not seeing anything. I got in and made a small U-turn, then drove out of there. My unsettling feelings stayed with me the whole drive back, and after clocking out, I did a quick walk around of my car. For the most part, everything looked okay, but once I got a closer look, I noticed some scratches near the passenger door handle that I didn't remember being there before. I couldn't verify anything, though, and even if I could, I don't think there's really anything I could do. But I think someone was out there in the woods, trying to get into my car without me knowing. Maybe it was all just a setup. I can't really say for sure, but if they had gotten in, there's a chance they would have hid in the back seat and waited for me. What would happen after that is best left unknown. In 2018, I went through a divorce that left me basically without anything. I managed to move into a small home, but had nothing to fill it with. I needed furniture, appliances, literally everything. Obviously, this is a big task to take on, especially financially, so I thought this was the perfect opportunity to get some discounted stuff on Craigslist. My priority was on the big things, like a couch, TV, and so on, and it really didn't take long to find some deals. I messaged a few people and picked up a few things, and during this process, I found and contacted a seller about buying their TV stand. It was posted for $40 and looked like a super average wooden TV stand. The seller, Matt, was very strict on when I could pick it up though. It had to be after 9 because of his work schedule, and it couldn't be on the weekend. This time frame still worked for me, but I just found it kind of odd how specific he was, and I figured that was probably why no one had bought it yet. I agreed to pick it up on a Wednesday at 9:30, and on that day, I followed through. He sent me his address, and I headed out 30 minutes to his place. The town he lived in I'd only heard in conversation before, and had never actually been to it, and I soon found out why. Most of the homes were run down and very old. Even the roads were in bad shape, with a lot of the streetlights not even working. Pulling up to Matt's house didn't make me feel any better. It was just as run down looking as the others, with only what looked like a hallway light on inside. And walked onto their porch, ringing the doorbell. As I waited, I looked around at his lawn. He had stuff everywhere, like garden statues and just interesting decorations all throughout his yard, and even on the porch. Then he opened the door. Matt was a tall and skinnier looking man, probably in his 40s. He had a tired look as if he hadn't slept in days, and I could smell booze from his breath as he welcomed me inside. If I'd known beforehand that this was who I'd be buying from, I never even would have come here, but it was too late for that now. As we walked down the hall, there was stuff scattered all around the house. Not to the point like a hoarder's home you'd see on TV, but more like an abandoned house that had been trashed by random teenagers. When we got to the living room in the back of the house, he pointed at the TV stand. The room was barely lit, making it hard to see what condition it was in.
"Any chance you could turn on the light for me?"
I asked politely. Matt didn't respond, but walked over to the wall and flicked on a small lamp in the corner. It was around this time that I got a really weird feeling that something was wrong, and before I even got to look at the TV stand, I heard someone else behind me. another man had come around the corner, standing next to Matt. He didn't say hello or anything. He just watched me. I was really unsure what to make of this and didn't want to overreact right away, but was also getting really uncomfortable as that eerie feeling only grew larger. I was standing there trying to think of what to say or do, but then Matt walked past me and stood in front of the TV stand. They were now on either side of me, facing me and not speaking. Several long seconds passed as nobody spoke or moved, before I quickly walked past the other guy and down the hallway toward the front door. As I left, I heard them laughing in the room behind me like this was funny, and as I got halfway to my car, the front door slammed shut. Maybe it was just some sick joke they were pulling, trying to get me to freak out. Or maybe it was something more sinister. I don't plan on finding out, though. I was 23 and looking for a studio apartment to rent. I was fresh out of college and had almost no money to work with, only making a bit more than minimum wage. So I really needed the absolute cheapest place I could find. At first, I was looking for one bedroom and studios, but over the following weeks, it became apparent that that was just not in the budget. Reluctantly, I went onto Craigslist and looked at their section for housing. I knew this site had some bad reputation, but one of my friends had a good experience and vouched for it, so I gave it a go. The first day of looking on Craigslist, I didn't find anything, though I got a bit of hope seeing there were a lot of listings. They just weren't in my area or price range. I think it was on the third or fourth day that I reloaded the website and found a new listing that piqued my interest. It was for a place a few miles away. I clicked on it and looked at all the details, seeing it was a studio in a small apartment building. The pictures were really low quality, like so pixelated that I couldn't see anything. But with everything else seeming good, I sent the owner a message. He replied quickly, and we scheduled a tour later that day around 7. From our quick back and forth, I saw nothing unusual about this guy. His messages were very professional, and he seemed happy to show me the place. A couple hours later, I got in my car and started driving over to the address he sent me. I should mention that I knew beforehand that this wasn't a very nice area of our city, but it's the cheapest area, and honestly, I didn't think it was that bad. Though in hindsight, maybe I was just being naive because it was my only option. Anyway, I pulled up to this rather old-looking apartment building. I parked on the side of the street and got out, texting the man that I'd arrived and walking up to the front door. I didn't see the man anywhere, so I buzzed the room and waited for a few seconds, then the door unlocked. I stepped in, greeted by a staircase in the middle and two rooms on either side. Before I even got to looking at the room numbers, a voice yelled from somewhere above the staircase, saying they were on the third floor. Assuming the man was talking to me, I started walking up. At this point, though, I was beginning to wonder why he didn't meet me at the door, especially since he was so professional when texting. As I reached the top of the steps, there was a small hallway with two doors, one of which was open. I walked over and looked inside, seeing a man standing a few feet away and looking over at me. He greeted me and shook my hand, then showed me inside, but immediately I was confused. The place had a couch, TV, chairs, and even food on the counters. It was clearly lived in.
"Does someone else live here?"
I asked kindly. The man quickly replied with a short laugh and said no one lived here and everything would be gone by tomorrow. I smiled and said okay, but that response didn't come off the right way to me. He started leading me further in, pointing out features of the place, but it suddenly came across me that this wasn't even a studio. There were multiple doors, which had to lead to other rooms. This was at least a one or two bedroom apartment, and there was no way the price could be what he said it was. It seemed like he noticed my suspicions as he stopped what he was saying and moved toward the hallway. He opened one of the doors that was clearly to a bedroom and started telling me to take a look inside. But before I could answer, we were interrupted when my phone chimed. I pulled it out of my pocket and checked who it was. My face went pale, seeing it was from the man from Craigslist, asking where I was. I looked up in horror, realizing what had happened, and I could tell that whoever this guy was in front of me knew that I'd figured it out. This terrifying moment passed, and the guy didn't move or say anything. He just stood and looked at me with a blank stare. After a moment, I hurried out of there and down the stairs, not hearing the guy follow. I got in my car and left. Being so horrified, I never even texted the actual man back, as I was no longer interested in staying anywhere near that place, and I didn't know if maybe he was in on it too somehow. But whoever that guy was that lured me into his home was so close to being able to probably abduct me. I don't know, and I don't even want to know, but I never opened Craigslist again after that night. I was on Craigslist for the first time in probably 5 years. I'd forgotten about the site, never having any need or use for it, and never really hearing about it anymore. But due to my moving situation, I needed to get rid of a bunch of random things. I initially called a junk removal company, hoping they would just take everything, but their estimate was over $400 for getting rid of just a couple things. So that's when I went to Craigslist. I put up a listing for free stuff and had pictures of all the things I was giving away. Maybe I just didn't know how it worked nowadays, but I thought I'd get a lot of responses from people wanting to pick up free stuff. However, I barely got any, and the ones that did respond to the listing ended up ghosting me after a couple texts. Then, about a week after making the listing, a man who introduced himself as KJ reached out. He said he wanted to pick up my couch and was good to do so on any day. I really thought this was just going to be the same as all the other people that reached out, so I didn't put much effort into getting this man to actually come pick up the couch. I let him know that I worked between 9 and 5, so if he wanted to pick it up, he could just let me know. Again, I didn't think he'd actually come. But sure enough, in the morning before work, he sent me a text saying he'd like to swing by tonight. I told him that was great, and as I left work that night, I sent him my address. The drive home was only 20-ish minutes, but I'd hope he comes sooner rather than later, because I didn't want to waste my night waiting on them, even more so if they didn't end up showing. When I pulled into my driveway though, a car was parked on the curb right next to my house. Nobody was in it, and it was the only car parked on the whole street, so it seemed clear that they were at my house. Thinking it was KJ, I quickly got out and ran up to my front door, but he wasn't there. It was in the back of my mind that this could be just some crazy coincidence, and the car was for someone else's house, but I wasn't convinced. I got inside and sent a text to KJ, asking what his ETA was, then I stood by the window and looked outside. After 10 or so minutes, I still hadn't gotten a response. I didn't see anyone outside either, so I calmed myself down and turned away from the window. I went to the kitchen, pouring myself a drink and just standing there, when a small thud sounded from upstairs. Unaware of what it was, I put my drink down and listened. There were a few seconds of silence. Then suddenly, heavy footsteps were running down the stairs. I was so caught off guard, I just stood where I was and stared down the hallway as a man appeared at the other end, running right to the front door. He swung it open and ran out, and when I made it to the front, he was already driving away in that car that was parked on the curb. I was still stunned, trying to process what happened because it was all so sudden and quick. Eventually, I got my phone out and called the police, then tried calling KJ, but he didn't pick up, which meant to me that it was definitely him who had broken in. When the police investigated, they found that KJ's phone wasn't registered to a name or address, so we were back to square one. Nothing ever did come of it, despite me trying multiple times to get the police back on the case. As far as I know, nothing was stolen, so maybe he didn't have enough time, or he was waiting for me. Maybe that thud I heard was him accidentally giving himself away, so he took his chance to run now that he didn't have the surprise on me. But whatever really happened, all I can do is hope that he never comes back.